another great episode of Give Us the Launch Codes. I'm Tom.
I'm Travis. Welcome, everybody.
So, what's on the news? Because this is getting back to the big stories of the news instead of the philosophical conversations we've been having recently.
So, yesterday, a big funny happened. The Atlantic, a prestigious weekly American news magazine, published an article, maybe the best headline I have ever seen in my life. The Trump administration accidentally texted me its war plans. unfortunately, we're gonna read through. I can't read through the article because I don't have a subscription to The Atlantic and they've paywalled it right now. But I really want to go into this, so I'm gonna use a Guardian article that reports on the other article instead. This is one of those things where it's like, if you think the Trump administration in either term can't get dumber, they'd find new ways to get dumber. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything as dumb as this, but this is like, because we have to be, we're talking about like the biggest national security breach maybe in American history, all done by sheer incompetence. To go over this, I'm reading from The Guardian. White House inadvertently texted top secret war plans to journalists. And in an extraordinary blunder, top Trump cabinet members added Atlantic editor to chat discussing strikes on Houthis. Written by Peter Beaumont, dated yesterday, March 24th. Senior members of Donald Trump's cabinet have been involved in a serious security breach while discussing secret military plans for recent U.S. attacks on the Houthi armed group in Yemen. And for those of you who don't know, the Houthis are a jihadi terrorist group. They're designated as a terrorist group by our State Department. They're based in Yemen. Theoretically, they might want to control all of Yemen, but right now they just control like a chunk of territory, but they're not like separatists or anything. So this isn't like the Confederates. Just to give you a picture of what the Houthis are like, this is their flag. It's not like a design or a symbol, it's just a slogan on their flag. And this is what the slogan says, translated from Arabic. God is the greatest. Death to America. Death to Israel. Curse be upon the Jews. Victory to Islam. Just so we know exactly where these guys are coming from. Not exactly good dudes. They're essentially like a low-rent version of Hezbollah for Lebanon. And they've been committing a lot of attacks in the Red Sea, of shipping lanes.
Sometimes some of our actual naval vessels, too.
So, obviously, the United States has been involved in doing airstrikes and trying to stop the Houthis from doing that. And I have mixed feelings on how the policy there, which didn't start with the Trump administration. A lot of this goes back to even the Obama years. But as the article continues, in an extraordinary blunder, key figures in the Trump administration, including Vice President J.D. Vance, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, God help me, I'm going to get that wrong all day, it's Hegseth, State Secretary Marco Rubio, and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, used the commercial chat app Signal to convene and discuss plans while also including a prominent journalist in the group. Signal is not approved by the U.S. government for sharing sensitive information. So I guess Signal is like, I've never heard of Signal until this, but I guess it's like a WhatsApp, yeah, or I don't know, Slack, or like I guess something you'd use for like if you don't want to deal with carrier rates on your cell service, you just use it online, like Facebook Messenger or Microsoft Teams. You know, there's end-to-end encryption, but, like, this is something that, like, a lot of people use that's publicly accessible. Right. I can download Signal
right now
from the App Store right now. Yeah, yeah.
What a great way to discuss war strategies and war games and war plans.
It also might be illegal. What I understand from what I'm learning from this, there's rules about if you're going to talk about top secret national security stuff, there has to be a record of this. I guess that's to, like, keep everyone straight and make sure, you know, make sure there's no leaks. Keep tabs on all conversations. Yeah. Others included in the chat included Trump advisor Stephen Miller, Trump's chief of staff Susie Wiles, and the key Trump envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff. The breach was revealed in an article published on Monday by Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of the Atlantic magazine.
You've probably seen him on the news recently today on the 25th.
Yeah, yeah. And I've looked up Jeffrey Goldberg. He's like, you know, he's an all right journalist. The biggest blemish on his record was that he was all for invading Iraq back in 2002. He later apologized for it in 2008. Make that what you will. He certainly wasn't alone.
Do with that what you see. For
yeah. So, you know, yeah. And he's editing a big prestigious magazine. Good for him. Sure. Jeffrey Goldberg, who discovered that he had been included in a Signal chat group called Houthi PC Small Group. And realizing that 18 other members of the group included Trump cabinet members.
Wait, you're telling me a bunch of high-ranking Republicans use the term PC?
Oh, I'm curious what PC... Yeah, I can't think about the top of my head what PC would stand for here.
But so basically, a war room department meeting was on the phone, and a journalist was added onto it, and a journalist did what any journalist would do.
I don't know. I'm guessing Goldberg has a Signal account. Maybe he uses Signal at work. Maybe the Atlantic.
Who do they think they put on there?
I don't know. Maybe they have another guy that works there that has like a similar name. Maybe instead of Jeffrey Goldberg, it's like Jeffrey Goldman or Jeffrey Gold. Well, not Jeff Goldblum, but I don't know. What's Jeff? Maybe. Does Jeff Goldblum have security clearance? I don't know what his politics are. Jeffrey Goldstein. Maybe it's Johnny Goldberg. I mean, like, for every reason, they invited this guy. They invited this pretty high-ranking journalist into their...
into their fun conversation about starting a war with another country.
And this guy, this journalist, he's looking at his phone, and he's seeing, like, these confidential discussions with, like, oh, yeah, we're going to attack Yemen on March 15th, and we're going to do it this way. We have a CIA operative that's telling us how the troop movements are going to be. And of course, he's thinking this is a joke. He's thinking this is like a big fucking joke. I'm not extrapolating this.
No, he said that.
He said this. And he like asked like a coworker of his who also is like a national security expert. And his coworker's like, this has to be a joke, man. There's no way. Somebody has got to be pulling your wire. There's no way they would be this careless. And then... Yeah, like, it all got confirmed for Goldberg that this was real when the actual airstrikes that happened on the 15th happened. And he's like, oh, this is exactly what they talked about. There's no way they could be that specific unless this is real.
It's kind of like that moment in This Is the End when Danny McBride thought the apocalypse was like, nah, it's not happening. It's not happening. Then a dude's severed head rolls over to Danny McBride's feet and he's like, this is real! This is fucking real!
The report was confirmed by Brian Hughes, a spokesperson for the National Security Council. So, in other words, he works in the Pentagon, who told the magazine, quote, this appears to be an authentic message chain, and we are reviewing how an inadvertent number was added to the chain. Hughes added, the thread is a demonstration of the deep and thoughtful policy coordination between senior officials. The ongoing success of the Houthi operation demonstrates that there were no threats to troops or national security. So basically, it's like a consequentialist excuse. Hey, it worked out, didn't it? That's what this guy said. I'm just thinking, what would have happened if, like, it could have been anyone else that they picked by accident. It happened to be a prominent journalist. What if they got, like, I don't know who else uses Signal. I'm thinking, what if it was, like, a frat in a university? And they use Signal for, like, their group chat. And then they accidentally invite, like, one of the frat boys. And he's getting all this, like, top-secret information. And he just decides, okay, I'm going to fuck with him. And he just sends him a dick pic. That's the funny version.
Of his schlong. Just sends him an uncensored dick pic.
With the caption. It's like with the caption, new phone, who dis? Or, you know, more seriously, what if it actually was, like, a Houthi terrorist? I mean, you never know.
One of their allied countries' leaders. For them. Just, it could have been very bad.
Sure, like Like, I'm just imagining, like, if it was a member of the Houthi militia. And so he's, like, telling his bosses, like, the Americans are going to attack. And then basically what you have is, like, you have, like, an Enigma code situation, but stupider. Which, if you don't know what that is, the Enigma code was, like, what the Nazis used to send, like, transmissions, tactical messages to each other during World War II. Yeah. And it took a computer genius named, a closeted gay computer genius named Alan Turing, to crack the code, and he built, like, a whole fucking computer to do it, of which then, you know, it was a matter of strategy. It's like, okay, what do we do with this information? We should evacuate. Oh, they're about to attack this battalion. We should evacuate them, right? Well, hold on now. If we evacuate them, we let them know that we cracked the code and then we're back to square one. Let's just monitor it for a bit and wait for the right time to strike. So that's the Enigma code. But the Allies cracked it because we had a super genius who, you know, the British repaid in full by outing him as gay and forcing him to take debilitating drugs for the rest of his life until he finally killed himself. Here, it would have just been, like, sheer administrative incompetence. Hey, man, I got access to this top secret text. I think the real guy.
Send Tulsi Gabbard your penis.
Donald Trump told reporters at the White House that he was unaware of the incident. Quote, I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of the Atlantic. I think he even went on to say, like,
I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of the Atlantic. It's, to me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
It's a dying magazine.
Which he says that about every news outlet he hates. It's like, oh, it's failing. Well, it's not doing well.
The thing about all this is that you know that there's no reprimands are going to be made. And it's like, well, the news reporter leaked it all. It's like, the journalist leaked it all. It's like, that's a journalist's job. Like, it's like, it's the equivalent of what happened is, like, if you're at a bar and the bartender handed you an entire bottle of vodka, what are you going to do? It's at a bar. You're at a bar.
Well, okay, yeah.
So what do you think the journalist is going to do? It's, you're not going to reprimand any of your people because you love their loyalty.
I'll put it this way. I think what Jeffrey Goldberg did was probably, like, the safest thing he could do. Because imagine if he didn't report it and actually called somebody within the government and was like, Hey, Donald Trump, Donald Trump government, who, you know, we totally put our faith and trust into, you know, respecting my freedoms. I think I got access to something I should know. You know, what makes you think they're not going to blackbag his ass? At least he puts this out in the open. Everybody knows now. Like, that's covering your ass, if you ask me.
No, I mean, like, that's what it's like. What did you expect him to do? He's going to leak it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's just like when people ask, like, okay, well, how do we handle this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? It's like this. You need to fire the guys on the group chat. It's all of them. They're all at fault for that.
Like, imagine Hillary Clinton had months of investigations lodged against her because it turned out that she had sensitive information in her personal email server, because she was the Secretary of State under Obama. Let's bring on the investigations. If this happened under Obama or Biden, like, half, if not all, of these people would have resigned within the week.
And Fox News would be having a field day.
Yeah.
But now, it's a little like, it shit happens.
Yeah, well, they're just a bunch of, like, lying yes man. Pete Hegseth got off the plane and was ambushed by reporters about the matter. He apparently didn't know that the administration, through the National Security Council spokesperson, already confirmed that this was real. So he's, like,
talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling.
And he, like, replays the... It's like he's trying to imitate Trump, because he starts saying,
I don't know. The hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage.
And Pete Hegseth probably shouldn't be the Defense Department Secretary anyway, because his only claim to fame was that Trump watched him on Fox News, and he's like, I want that guy.
The smart thing to do in this situation, because it is serious, is, and just basically everyone on that group chat should be fired.
Should be fired or resigned?
Because also, too, let's just... It got leaked, sure, but the overall fact is you did this war room discussion on this? you didn't meet in person in a secret office that's secured and mm-hmm. like safe and monitored so no information gets out. No, you just basically might as well have done it on an iPhone chat group.
I mean, that's what they did.
That's what I'm saying. You might as well just put it on your iPhones, because the fact that you did this shows no... just is a complete shows no professionalism. It's a complete lack of professionalism. People could have died.
I mean, the reason we knew about the private, the personal server that Hillary Clinton had was because somebody hacked into it. It was, yeah. It did not happen. Somebody got into it.
This could have been a lot worse than people are wanting to realize. People need to be held accountable, but you know these people won't be held accountable, because loyalty is better than work ethic right now. It's a higher currency. Because you're right, if this was under Obama or Biden, it would be just, it'd be insane, the backlash. Hell, even Bush.
Yeah.
You guys voted for this. And then the ones who didn't vote for this, you didn't vote not hard enough.
I didn't vote against Trump hard enough.
This is just watching the clown show. And this is why I didn't vote for either of them, because I'm like, yeah, no, just either way. It's just bullshit either way. This is very dangerous. It's a good thing no one died from this. But now you know, ladies and gentlemen, your peacetime president has got war games going on. It does. Remember? No, really. How many times has he said, and everyone else has said, he's a peacetime president? He's about peace. He's about peace. Peacetime president. Mm-hmm. This isn't peace. And I get it. The pirates did attack us. We have to protect shipping lanes globally. And yes, they attacked our Navy. And also, to the same thing, though, is to protect us requires not peaceful acts. So don't say you're peaceful when you know you can never be peaceful when you have this bullshit setup. There's peace through strength is not peace. So you, ladies and gentlemen, prepare to have American troops in Yemen, possibly, because of what happened. Think about it, though. They were talking about war games, war tactics, and airstrikes.
Yeah, airstrikes. We love airstrikes. Yeah. We love unmanned airstrikes.
That's how it starts. We got bullshit happening with Ukraine and Russia. We got bullshit happening with Israel and Hamas. Now we have this. None of this is peaceful. And the thing is, you have to think, okay, what's next? They were talking about this. What were they talking about? Would there have been a point where they were going to be talking about boots on the ground? They were pretty open.
It's a good question.
In their discussion.
Let's continue reading. The incident is likely to further raise concerns over the Trump administration's trustworthiness with intelligence shared by erstwhile allies. Not least as Hegseth boasts at one stage of guaranteeing 100% OPSEC, that's operation security, while a celebrated journalist is reading his message. So I guess he texted that in the group chat that got leaked. The discussion seen by Goldberg include comments from Vance, who appeared unconvinced of the urgency of attacking Yemen, as well as conversations over what price should be expected of Europeans and other countries for the U.S. removing the threat to a key global shipping route. Well, yeah, he's a bit of an isolationist that way. They should pull their weight, and Trump's been echoing that. Security and intelligence commentators in the U.S. describe the breach of operational security as unprecedented, both for the use of a commercial chat service and for the inclusion of Goldberg, the reporter. In the U.S. military, the highest political echelon and intelligence services operate under strict rules for communication of classified material and for the discussion of issues concerning operational security where lives and outcomes could be compromised by disclosure. While Signal is regarded as a secure encrypted chat service, its weakness is that phones on which it is installed can themselves be vulnerable. Among those aghast at the breach, that's a nice word, aghast, at the, this is a British magazine, I should point out, was the Democratic representative Pat Ryan, an Army veteran who sits on the House Armed Services Committee, who described it using the Second World War era epithet, FUBAR, meaning fucked up beyond all recognition. Quote, "If House Republicans won't hold a meeting on how this happened immediately, I'll do it my damn self."
Understand that this... it doesn't even matter if you voted for this or not. This is just bad. This is complete just idiocy. This is stupidity.
You
fucked up. You have to be held accountable. But the sad part is, no one will be held accountable. It's been confirmed that this is a real thing. This wasn't just some, you know, dude just spinning yarn.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. It happened. No, but that's the sad part. Like Travis, as you keep reading, no one's going to be held accountable. Not even a slap on the wrist.
No.
And what does that say about anyone who's like this? I'm fine with that, with my elected official. I'm okay with that. It's like, no.
This goes back to what I said in the conspiracy episodes, that I miss when the government was scary because of...
They were a well-oiled machine.
Because of competence. It's like, the competence of the U.S. government is what I'm scared of. It is so powerful and so filled to the brim with smart people that it could do heinous things and get away with it. And it would get away with it by keeping all that shit secret.
You know what the equivalence of this is?
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of if two buddies were talking, a group of buddies were talking together, say three or four guys, and one of them was just talking about a very bad breakup, but how he went about it, and then his thoughts on the chick and all that, mm-hmm. and that dumbass put the girl in the group chat. So after a two to three year relationship after a 2 to 3 year relationship, three guys that became her friends, she found out how they felt about her. Just the dumbness of like, you added her on the group chat, you broke up with her, and you called her this.
You forgot to take her out.
Added her on and you didn't read through. You just kept putting her in and you said all this shit already.
Or it's like you're sending a private email to like a coworker, but you accidentally hit like reply all like and your boss is in.
Everyone gets it.
Goldberg writes that he was initially dubious about whether the messages might be some kind of foreign disinformation operation, but became convinced they were genuine, both because of the language and positions presented and because the plan discussed coincided with an actual attack on Yemen. One striking exchange involved Vance and Hegseth. I have a hard time saying that name. It's a stupid name. Sorry. I'm sorry you were born into with a stupid last
Just
name.
Just say Petey Weedy.
Petey Weedy. Okay, all right. I'll go Petey Weedy. Defense Secretary Petey Weedy. Yeah. One striking exchange involved Vance and Petey Weedy making disparaging remarks about Europe. Quote, the account identified, this is quoting the article.
Yeah.
The account identified as J.D. Vance addressed a message at 8:45 to at Pete Hegseth. I won't say Petey Weedy because that was what exactly it says.
I like that
his username is just his name. Not like Gung Ho Bro 42069, nothing like that. Okay, they have some self respect. I appreciate that. This is what Vance said to Pete Hegseth. If you think we should do it again, let's go. I just hate bailing out Europe again. Goldberg wrote, the administration has argued that America's European allies benefit economically from U.S. Navy's protection of international shipping lanes. True. Goldberg continues, the user identified as Hegseth responded 3 minutes later, quote, VP, I fully share your loathing of European freeloading. It's pathetic. But Mike Waltz, National Security Advisor. Yeah, loathing and loading. I'll say it again from the VP, from Hegseth. Hegseth says to Vance, I fully share your loathing of European freeloading. Yeah, that's kind of a semi rhyme.
Yeah, it's a little Sesame Street.
He says it's pathetic, but Mike is correct. We are the only ones on the planet on our side of the ledger who can do this. Nobody even close. Question is timing. I feel like now is as good a time as any, given POTUS, President of the United States, directive to reopen shipping lanes. I think we should go, but POTUS still retains 24 hours of decision space. In reality, about 20 countries are involved in the mission to protect shipping from Houthi attacks, including British warships. As Goldberg became aware of the attack on Yemen taking place, he recorded how he went back to the signal channel. Quote, Michael Waltz, U.S. National Security Advisor, had provided the group with an update. Again, I won't quote from this text, except to note that he described the operation as an amazing job. A few minutes later, another individual wrote, a good start. Not long after, Waltz responded with three emojis, a fist, an American flag, and fire. Others joined in, including Marr, presumably Secretary of State Marco Rubio, writing, good job, Pete, and your team. And Susie Wiles, she texted, kudos to all, most particularly those in theater and in centcom. Really great. God bless. That's the end of that article.
It's not even the inmates running the prison anymore. It's just the dogs.
Well, this is why I talk about, like, you know, when we text to each other, we get, like, we text to each other about things, and we text each other a lot about things we discuss in the podcast, and a lot of times it's, like, getting the raw thoughts out there so that we know how to, like, filter it to make something more concise.
More professional sounding.
I say more concise. I don't know if it comes out totally concise when we do it on the podcast. It gets very squirrely, but like, you know, and I always say like, you know, hey, let's be careful what we say on here, because what if this podcast gets big and someone decides to hack our phones and leak these text messages? Because you take something out of context, it could make someone look bad.
I don't want people finding out that my secret love of Sex and the City. Oh shit, no! It's just, you know, it's funny you say that. Actually, at work, when I'm texting you about this podcast specifically, I actually always make sure no one's around me when I'm at work.
Oh.
I do, actually. I do that. Even at home with, like, family, because it's like, no, I want to keep this, like, just between us, because it's like, I'm taking this professional, so when my dad or wife will come up, I'll be like, just kind of put my phone up with it. Yeah. Or I'm at work, I, like, kind of, like, bring it close to me and shield it, and I just kind of make sure, like, if I take my first break, I text you really quick before people come in for their breaks.
Yeah.
Or at lunch, I sit in the back of the break room. So yeah, no, like, it's funny how I take a level of security with this podcast, which we've just started, and this is literal legit warfare tactics being leaked by just stupidity.
This is everybody at the top, except for Trump. Because I don't think Trump knows how to do a group chat. I think when he was asked about the article, he's like, what signal? I don't know what that is.
I honestly think he doesn't even do his own Twitter. Someone's just listening to him talk. I think there's literally...
Oh, you mean his Truth Social?
Exactly. No, this is something that can never happen. Hopefully it'll never happen again. Who knows? This is the first 100 days, folks. And a big dumb happened. Something stupid.
This
should be heavily criticized across the board.
This is like the biggest.
I can't wait for this SNL skit.
I can just imagine the skit right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is something that is just like a comedy writer couldn't make this up if they tried. This is something from The Onion. This is something that, like, the Kentucky Fried movie could have done back in the 70s.
This is like a Seth Rogen movie.
This is.
Yeah, stranger than
fiction. And here's the thing that angers me, too, now when you talk about it, because so far I've heard anyone who has voted for this administration hasn't, a very few have spoken up against, like, hey, whoa, this is bad, and others are just like, oh, you know, it's like this. It's like, what happened to criticizing your elected officials on anything? For example, whether just an administration that you voted for is doing good, doing bad, throwing the country into turmoil, or just becoming like, this is amazing, everyone has a brick of gold now.
Yeah.
Criticize. Like, no, like, criticize at every moment. The whole point of voting is you vote for someone that you believe will do a good job. Mm-hmm. At the same time, while you're voting, you're letting them know, you fuck up, I'm dragging you out on the street and tarring and feathering you. And yet you hear none of that, like, well, you know, it happens. And it's like, what?
This is stuff like this is why I don't believe there are aliens at Area 51 and why I think Lee Harvey Oswald really was the shooter.
He wasn't paid. He just did it.
He just did it. He figured out how to curve the bullet. Like,
criticize this heavily on all sides because this is bad.
I want to know how deep this goes. Like, is this just in this White House? Did this start in this this administration or this term of Trump's administration, the second Trump administration, if you will, or is this like one of those open secrets in DC that like, yeah, you know, the Biden cabinet did this too, Obama's cabinet did this, and it's only now, like, the real mistake was that they accidentally invited a journalist to observe.
It may be because here's one thing that seemed like an open secret for what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It seemed like everyone was kind of like, yeah, Clinton liked women. Bill liked to grab it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it wasn't like a shock. It's like, yeah, that was one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, I was one of them too.
Yeah.
If you look at any presidency, there seems to be open, there's open secrets anywhere, but it's just our country's government, there's some open secrets, and it doesn't surprise me that this is not the first time, for sure. There's been great blunders that we could look through in all of our country's history, military, and just overallness. I mean, shoot, we all know it was an open secret that, for example, Eisenhower really liked to work with the mob. You know? Or FDR yeah. liked to work with them. And Eisenhower just did other stupid shit. It's an open secret that we've, you know, JFK and his wife were doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamins, gotta have them. I mean, hell, it was an open secret that JFK and his brother, RFK, were tunnel buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look up that definition, folks. They really liked Marilyn Monroe. So, no, this is just, it's almost, you know what it is? It is a little bit kind of like when we found when we got to see behind the curtain, quote unquote, with the Zelensky-Trump meeting. More stuff's coming to light that shouldn't and cannot happen. But we're just seeing more and more of like, maybe just no one's at the wheel, or they're just dumb. Maybe there's a little drunk at the wheel.
Yeah, well, we know Trump is not at the wheel. I think Trump was golfing when this is going on, which is like kind of why I think Vance was in the conversation. It makes you wonder how much authority J.D. Vance has.
Is it a
over Trump, over Musk?
Is it a Cheney thing?
I'm surprised we didn't. It's actually kind of a relief that I say relief because I'm tired of hearing about this guy. Elon Musk wasn't in that chat. You know, or at least I don't think he was. You know that shit would have gotten out. Or maybe, because I think there's some names in that chat that they haven't fully been able to officially figured out. So maybe one of them was Musk and we just don't know it. But so far, it seems like Elon Musk was not in that conversation, which is like, oh, okay, well, at least he's not involved in military decisions. He's just focusing on internal stuff that he also doesn't know how to do.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Like I said, this happened the day before. So like I said, we're recording March 25th. So this happened on the 24th. When this releases about maybe, let's say, if 3-4 weeks from now, this episode, let's just say it, because we do it once a week, a release. Who knows how much has changed? Maybe we'll have a quick update during this.
Or maybe the Trump administration will create another scandal just so we can forget about
this. And
here's
another thing, too, for people to protest, because we apparently, you know, as we all say across the board, we're tired of war. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to say, like, wow, we thought about going, you know, doing combat with a country right now. Let's all talk about that. Stop. Yeah. Get out. Like, we're supposed to be at peace.
Well, okay, I'm glad we brought that up, because that's like another thing where it's like, okay, where should our moral outrage be directed on this? Because is it that, it's not that, because we knew that we're continuing operations in Yemen. This, like, that was publicly known. That was publicly known that the U.S. was going to restart. So it's not like this was some new thing that we hadn't heard of. Is the moral outrage at the broader sense of incompetence? Is it just about the fact that, is it more of like an outrage of the implied? That like the people at the top are so fucking incompetent that like, oh yeah, we're just gonna, that they're not verifying who's in there.
They're just not doing it face-to-face. They're not just doing it face-to-face, like, officially. They're just doing it lazily over a phone.
Well, what else are they being careless about?
Yeah.
If they're this careless about this, what else are they being careless about? Again, I long for being scared of a competent government. I long for thinking that the X-Files is real. The X-Files is, like, a hopeful fantasy for me. It's like, well, at least the people in charge are, like, smart, and therefore there might be a comforting fact of like, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
I think that's where the quote unquote moral outrage is, even though at the same time, it's some of that moral outrage is trying to just be like, well, you know, just kind of like still,
yeah.
still, it's crazy how this moral outrage, some of it has that underliningness of loyalty. And it's like, Jesus Christ, like this over loyalty shit, these past like couple, this year alone so far, it's like, you gotta be loyal. No matter what, you gotta be loyal. Mm-hmm. You gotta be loyal. You gotta be loyal. It's like, you know what? I'm loyal to my wife, but I'll still call her out if she does something super fucking stupid. And I know your wife will do the same thing to you. Mm-hmm. And I know that she would do it to me. You would do it to her. It's like, what does loyalty have to do with not being a dipshit? It's like, what the fuck? I can have loyalty and also be like, why are you dumb? Why are you making dumb shit? Why are you being stupid? Like, that's where the moral some outrage should be too, of looking at yourself and being like this. It's okay to criticize your elected official. This whole thing of like, you gotta respect and blah blah blah. It's like, respect the fuck what? That we elected you. I don't have to respect you. Go do your fucking job. Do it at the highest degree. You don't get to be human. You don't get to make mistakes in this level. You don't. Because when you make mistakes like this, people die. Thank God no one did. What if you found out like...
Well, except for the people that they airstruck.
Of course.
Which and who knows if there are any... I haven't looked into it deeply, but I wonder if there are any civilian casualties as a result of those strikes.
Then more death, I guess, is the word. Because who knows how it can turn around with our military men and women.
If you're going to plot, like, killing people, like, can you, like, take it more seriously, please? Can you not be so flippant about it?
Sounds like they're having a beer.
Like how...
No, it sounds like
I'm surprised they haven't released a text message where Pete Hegs... Petey Weedy is like, hey, want to get beers afterwards? Because he's that kind of dude.
It's just the way the text thread sounded like. That's what it was going to be. It sounded,
high five, bro!
And JD Fans sounded like the guy, the buddy at home drinking scotch going like, it's about to go to bed, but everyone wants to talk. Fine.
I mean, that's pretty real since we know that he does have an alcohol problem.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, it's the way that when you listen to the conversation, it just sounds like a bunch of buddies up late at night texting and someone wanted to go to bed, but they have to deal with this text convo thread.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, oh, hey, someone's in there that shouldn't have been. And now the stupidity's out more. And he can't cover it. And the way they're going, like, well, the Atlantic's just not just going out of the toilet anyways. A shitty place. And he's like, that's all you got?
Are you kidding me? This thing probably boosted their sales.
That's what I'm saying. You just put...
Not for me, per se, but, like...
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Like, it probably got a lot of people to... You know, I want to subscribe to that magazine just so I could read that article.
Yeah.
This is trippy.
They're going to get a big one-month check out of everyone right now, the Atlantic. Let's hope this is the end of stupidity for our country, which is asking a lot, because...
Well, we got 4 more years, buddy.
No, it's not just that. Our country, over the past hundreds of years of its existence, has just produced a lot of stupidity. And you can go fuck yourself with saying, well, what about other countries? I don't give a shit about other countries. It's our country that needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be a role model. We don't get to fuck up. We don't get to mess up. This is America. We saved the world twice from Germany. Twice. We saved the world twice from fascists. And then after that, it's been a lot of stupid shit. And more stupid shit. And more stupid shit. And this is going to be a great South Park episode.
And that's... Hey,
I can imagine that right now. Like.
And how sad is it to say that?
Which kid which South Park kid do you think gets invited into the chat?
It's Clyde.
It's Clyde.
It's got to be Clyde. It's gotta be Clyde. You know it's Clyde. It's Clyde.
Okay.
It's not Butters. You know Butters is the one leading it. Butters is a madman. Dude, Butters is great. Everyone loves Kenny. Cartman's gonna force his way onto it. It's Clyde. It's Clyde.
That's gonna be the plot of the episode. They all gather around Clyde like, you gotta invite me to the group chat, Clyde. I wanna see what the government's doing.
Clyde is the one who gets accidentally put on the trap. That's what it is. It's Clyde. It's it's just sad to say, though, that, like, you know, wow, it's more... I've heard this phrase a lot. Like, it's looking more like South Park every day. That's not... It's not funny anymore. Remember how we all used to laugh during the Daily Show? It's like, yeah, you know, that funny shirt that people had. Like, I get my news from the Daily Show.
Yeah.
It's not funny anymore.
No.
It's really not funny anymore. It was funny the first time we got kicked in the balls. It's just not funny anymore. And it's sad to say... Yep, says South Park skit's gonna, you know, South Park episode's gonna be great. This SNL skit's gonna be hilarious. Can't wait to hear what YouTubers do and the jokes. Like, I implore.
The memes are fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, and what's coming out soon for the rest of the week, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Tuesday we're recording on. A lot of, for example, YouTube channels who are hardcore MAGA, and then who are hardcore against MAGA, are going to have a field day with this, and for the dumbest, just most waste of oxygen reasons. It's getting, it's just, the humor's gone, folks. I really do. It's not funny anymore. I know we joked, laughed a couple times here, but when you come to it and look at it seriously, it's just like, I miss 2003. You know, because you know what came out in 2003? Return of the King. I missed that. Got to see that in theaters. Oh, and you know what's funny too? Speaking of, there's so much dumb shit. Because you speak of J.D. Vance, you know his wife's going to Greenland, and you know there's a new hat going around? There's a new MAGA hat in Greenland going around.
No.
Did you hear about this?
No. Okay.
Make America go away. It's being sold a lot right now in the country of Greenland.
That's the same letters.
MAGA, yeah.
It's Make America go away.
It's like I said, it's a new MAGA hat. So you got all this stupid shit. And also, too, why? What the fuck is the vice president's wife doing on an official government, a presidential trip to fucking Greenland? You're the second lady. Go stay the fuck out of there. Like, stay fucking home. Go do something else. What the fuck are you doing here with our, like, ambassadorial shit?
It's free ski vacation. It's dumb. All right. A little update to bring here. This is from The Hill. Is drafted by Dominic Mastrangelo. I just want to make sure the authors get credited. Headline: Atlantic editor suggests he's open to sharing Hez Petey Weedy's full war plans texts publicly. Jeffrey Goldberg, top editor of The Atlantic, said he could be open to sharing more details from a Signal group chat he was mistakenly added to by top U.S. officials that contain secret war plans. Quote, I get the defensive reaction, but my obligation, I feel, is to the idea that we take national security information seriously. According to Goldberg, as he told The Bulwark, that's a news company, quote, maybe in the coming days I'll be able to say, okay, I have a plan to have this material vetted publicly, but I am not going to say that now. During a hearing on Capitol Hill today being Tuesday, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard and CIA Director John Ratcliffe contended that the Signal chat in question did not include classified information. Well, if it didn't include classified information, then Jeffrey Goldberg should absolutely release more screenshots. Please.
You know, and you think about him like, oh, think about releasing it. It's like, why? Remember during the whole Vietnam bullshit with the Post?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The public, hey, it's the exact, I'm going to say,
Pentagon papers.
It's the exact same way people were saying, like, I pay for, my taxpayers' dollars pay for a lot. I'm glad I got to see this stupid argument, bullshit, ambush, yelling, crappy, hissy fit between Zelensky and Trump and J.D. Vance. It's like, fine, I'm paying taxes. I want to see it all. Mm-hmm. I want to see all that shit now.
I want to see everything.
I want to see the whole thread from top to bottom. My taxpayers' dollars paying it, same rules apply, same logic apply.
Hey everyone, Editor Travis from the future here. The day after we recorded this, The Atlantic decided to take the White House up on their bluff, and they published another article, this time containing the full chat log that Editor-in-Chief Jeffrey Goldberg was privy to. This chat log contains details previously unreleased regarding the specific planes they were going to use, the specific ammunition they were going to use, weather patterns, strategy of attack, timing of attack, specific people that they were targeting for assassination. You know, the kind of very unimportant stuff that the government always leaves declassified before an attack happens for all to see, because it's not like the enemy can do anything with that information. Like the other article, this one is paywalled too, but I will have that one linked in the description. Back to the show.
You know, if we ever become presidents, you and I, for this country, like I said, let's just we're gonna get rid of all phones at this point. Going back to landlines, people.
Oh.
Fuck your selfies. We're going back to landlines because it's like nothing's getting out.
If your car breaks down, you're fucked. You can't call AAA.
Remember Goodfellas? How Paulie never used a phone. He had people do run errands through the payphones. There you go.
I think that's how, like, Christopher Nolan does things. I heard that Christopher Nolan does not have a cell phone. If he needs to call somebody, he'll just ask somebody on set for their phone. Like, he doesn't believe in having a cell phone on set. He's like, I'm going to ask someone else for their phone if I need to make a call, or ask him to make a call for me. That's a power move.
This is dumbness, folks. Our sponsor today.
Yes, the sponsor!
Sponsor today is... Go grab a fucking book and read. Because just so you...
Oh, it's books?
It's books.
It's books!
It's just overall books.
I love books!
Because you know what? Everyone at this point needs to read a book and gain a little intelligence to some degree. Travis, what book do you recommend for people?
Oh, well, I right now I am doing a...
By the way, our sponsor said not anything graphic with nudity in it. Sorry, because it's for kids. Sponsor rules. We got paid a lot of money for the sponsor. They just said we can't talk about nudity.
Okay, well, this is not... Well, I wouldn't say this is a kid's book.
No, just no nudity.
Yeah, okay,
the sponsor said we can't talk about nudity.
I won't talk about nudity.
Hey, man.
I'm just saying I don't recommend it for, you know, small children. No, I'm doing a reread of Lindsay Ellis's Numina series. It's kind of like a Arrival. It's kind of like
the movie Arrival, right?
Yeah. Like think E.T., like the alien companion relationship, like with E.T., but then combine that with the art of communication bits, like in Arrival. There's three books: Axiom's End, Truth of the Divine, and Apostles of Mercy. I'm doing a reread of those books right now.
That's great title names.
Yeah, it's basically like. It's like an alternate history beginning in late 2007.
Okay.
So where it's like, which involves like aliens being on Earth and that becoming public knowledge, which leads to crazy shit like Bush resigning before his term ends. And your main character is basically like, is essentially like Julian Assange's daughter, okay. Like a strange daughter. And she befriends... a very strange alien person. Like he doesn't look like a Star Trek alien. He's like walks in fours. There's like cyborg components to it. And the book series is about like, you know, the art of communication between someone that is very different from you. And it, within the context of like the last 20 years of American history. So like when we were in middle school, right?
Okay.
So like those years, the end of the Bush era. Really good books, especially really fascinating science fiction novels, especially for someone who was a YouTuber, because she was. She made really great video essays. I loved when she made video essays. But now she's on Nebula, and I don't pay for Nebula. She's that good.
So that's what you recommend?
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, everyone should pick those books in the sci-fi section of your local bookstore.
See, my book, real quick, going actually on the thing what you're saying about alternative history with sci-fi, I recommend everyone, and I think everyone should not only read Travis's book because if it's based off the two movies he was saying, and it's not based off of, but in similarity to the two movies he's saying, E.T. and Arrival, which, watch both. They're great. Mm-hmm. Especially Arrival. Wow. Another alternative history book, and I think everyone should read this, and it's phenomenal. Guns of the South by Harry Turtledove. It involves, yes, folks, the Confederacy won. But they won because time-traveling neo-Nazis came back in time at a decisive point of the war and gave General Lee a cachet full of AKs. Because in the year 2047, I believe it was, just time travel became a thing. But instead of using time travel as a discovery and, like, you know, expansion of the mind, seeing history, it was time travel used as a weapon.
Yep.
And it's a really good read. It is not, I know what I've said, certain words of like, hey, it's about neo-Nazis going, South African neo-Nazis going.
Ooh.
Yeah, South African neo-Nazis Ooh. Going back in time to help.
So Elon Musk.
To help General Lee win the war by giving him an AK-47. It is no way, in any way, shape, or form, that bullshit phrase of pushing lib ideals. It's amazing. It is, you don't know, the entire time you're reading from the perspective of General Lee and a Confederate colonel, mm-hmm. two characters. And it's phenomenal. It is beautifully well written. There are some amazing conversations about just being an American. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the Confederacy wins, so they're not Americans at the end. You know what I mean? It's about the Confederacy winning. It's about, it's sci-fi. It's about the insanity of an AK-47 against musket and lever action guns. Mm-hmm. It's the interest, you see a country, which that's what the Confederacy was, on the cusp of collapse, all of a sudden get a basically an adrenaline rush. Abraham Lincoln's a character. Phenomenal conversation there. The ambassador from England's in there. Holy shit. And then General Lee's moral dilemmas on certain topics, not just slavery, just the overall. It's a beautiful book. And I think more important people should be reading this just in high school, even, especially in today's times. Mm-hmm. It's the Civil War is unfortunately this thing that we just still can't come to terms with. And this book, I think, does it. And also, too, it's a great piece of sci-fi in my book. So those are our two books from our sponsor. We're just getting a lot of sponsors right now. Books, everyone. Books are our sponsor.
Our sponsor literally gave these books to us. We didn't buy these ourselves.
Hey! That's today's episode. Thank you all for joining, by the way, still. You guys, everyone who keeps listening, it means so much to us, your loyalty to this. Mm-hmm. And please leave comments on anything that you want to hear from us, anything that we're messing up on. We really want to build something awesome here. And anyone listening and those who continue to listen, all of you who are joining us right now, you mean the world to us.
Stay smart, everyone, because your government ain't at the moment.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.